From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Today on the Gay PHX Podcast, what happens when someone walks away from one creative life and builds another that transforms people in a completely different way? Today's guest did exactly that, moving from the world of art into medicine and now helping people reshape not just how they look, but how they feel in their own bodies. And we'll get to that in just a bit. But first, Phoenix, coming out of this weekend, we are exhausted, but in the best possible way. Rainbows Fest, the No Kings Rally, Make 'em Laugh. And that was just Saturday. Then on Sunday, there was Grit Sunday Service with special guest Silky Nutmeg Ganache. And we closed out the day by going back to Rainbows Fest for the very end. The energy, the people, the conversations. That's what it looks like when community shows up. And if you're listening right now because you picked up one of those Gay PHX tokens or because someone told you about us or just because you found us, welcome. We're really glad that you're here because what you stepped into isn't just a podcast. It's community. And it doesn't stop here. We stream 24/7 with music, interviews, and voices from across Phoenix. So whether you're driving, working, or just need something to fill your space, you can tap in anytime. And this weekend, we handed out over 1,000 tokens, just connecting with people, one conversation at a time. And now some of you are here listening, because that's how this grows. Now let's take a look at what's coming up next in the city. Here's Brian with your Hot 3.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 Phoenix, loosen that collar, check that mirror one more time, and ask yourself a very important question. Are you stepping out this week to be seen or to be remembered? Because baby, this lineup, this is not a stay home and scroll kind of week. This is a text your friends, cancel your excuses, and pick out that outfit that says I might behave, but no promises kind of week. We've got visibility, we've got community, we've got drinks being poured just a little too strong, or at least one moment where you're going to lock eyes with someone across the room and think, well, that was unexpected. And with Easter hopping in at the end of the week, let's just say some of y'all are about to be found, not just in the egg hunt. This is Brian's Hot 3, your glitter drunk, slightly inappropriate community-powered guide to where you need to be this week. And don't worry, Daddy's watching the calendar so he can focus on making questionable decisions responsibly. Hot pick number one, International Transgender Day of Visibility, March 31st. And this isn't just a moment, it's a movement. And this is about celebrating trans joy, honoring resilience, and recognizing the absolute magic that trans folk bring into our community. It's also a reminder that being seen is powerful, but being safe, supported, and protected is the goal. So show up, speak up, love louder, because our community shines brightest when every single identity is visible, valued, and celebrated. And let's be clear, authenticity is always in style, no filters required. Hot pick number two, Bunkhouse Bingo, April 1st, 7 to 9. It's the first Wednesday of the month, which means it's time for bingo, where the balls are flying, the drinks are flowing, and suddenly everyone becomes very competitive. Hosted by Bill Lobb, this is your midweek excuse to laugh a little louder, flirt a little harder, and pretend you understand the rules after your second cocktail. Prizes, yes. Good company, absolutely. Questionable shouting volume after a near win, guaranteed. And let's be honest, nothing bonds strangers faster than yelling bingo at the same time. Hot pick number three, First Friday Melrose Market at Thunderbird Lounge, April 3rd, 5 to 10. Melrose is turning on this Friday. If not out there strolling, snacking, and people watching, what are we even doing? 25 plus local vendors, food trucks, art, and that unmistakable Melrose energy where every corner has something that makes you go, ooh, I probably don't need that, but I'm getting it anyways. From Indian School to Camelback along 7th Avenue, it's a full stretch of community, creativity, casual thirst, traps, and daylight. Eat, shop, flirt, hydrate, repeat. Now let's talk about Easter. Some of you are going to brunch, some of you are going to church, and some of you are going to be resurrected emotionally by a stranger with great eye contact and poor decision-making skills. Remember, not every bunny is innocent, not every egg is filled with candy, and if someone says, I got something sweet for you, just know you're entering advanced territory. Stay hydrated, stay fabulous, and maybe stretch first. Phoenix, this is one of those weeks where you can feel it in the air. There's connection happening, there's community showing up, there's laughter, visibility, celebration, and just enough chaos to remind you that you're alive and exactly where you're supposed to be. So don't sit this one out, don't overthink it, and for the love of glitter, don't wear that boring outfit. From the shadows of the radio station, I'm your Desert Den Daddy Brian, reminding you that this week isn't about playing it safe, it's about showing up, showing out, and maybe leaving with a story you'll almost tell next week. You are seen, you are wanted, and yes, someone is definitely checking you out right now. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. Year-end bonuses are withheld at 22%, but if you're in a higher bracket, they will not cover your total tax. Plan ahead so your bonus doesn't turn into an unexpected bill in April. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, what happens when an artist becomes the healer? When the hand that draws the human figure learns to heal the human body. Today's guest walked away from one career to build another, from creating characters for Disney to creating wellness for patients. Nearly two decades later, they're practicing medicine at the intersection of art and science, where an artist's eye meets a doctor's training. What does it take to trade your pencils for a stethoscope? And what happens when vanity meets medicine in the most unexpected ways? Please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, Dr. James Wang. Howdy. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so humbled and excited to be here. I have a free-flowing way of speaking, so I hope people are okay with that.
They're going to love it. They're going to love you. I know it. I just know it. So let's start from the beginning. What was the spark, the moment that you knew that this is the path that you needed to walk? That you moved away from being an artist to being a doctor?
I think that they're all one and the same. When I was very young, I always thought that I loved doing art and I play a lot of video games. And for D&D people out there, I am the consummate white mage. I always played white mage and I always thought of myself as a healer and I've always dreamed of myself of that. But as things moved on, I followed the art path, did that for a little bit, but then I came back to being in the healthcare provider stance. But I've never lost both. And I think both really meld well together. And now that I am in the vanity world, my artistic eye really helps with helping people attain their goals when they're doing their body transformations.
Was there a person or a moment that made you want to experience this course correction, so to speak?
Yeah, there was a beautiful doctor when I was coming out and I was in art school and I was still in the closet and I'll say his name is Dr. Z. So his first name, last name was the letter Z, but he just really helped redirect my life in multiple ways. And he brought me to my first gay bar in West Hollywood, Akbar, where he told me to put my hands down because I had my hands folded across my chest. Very uncomfortable, very gay. And he's put your hands down. You look uncomfortable. And I said, I am uncomfortable. So that's why my hands are up. But yeah, he was a doctor and I was in art school and we would meet up like 2-3 times a week just to hang out. And I was coming out and he really just helped me in that process. And I went, and like after finishing art school, I did art for a little bit and then moved a little bit, pivoted back into the healthcare industry. I love art. I still do it. I still teach sometimes. I used to do a nonprofit for IKEA Wellness, which isn't called that anymore in San Francisco, where I would bring together DQ people in a safe space just to do something outside of alcohol and partying. Mm-hmm. So I would source and hire really hot models and then I would do a little demo at the beginning and then we would just go and draw and have a great time. And then when I went back into the medical field, it was really helpful to have that discipline of understanding the rhythms of a body, the inner workings of a body, outside, inside was really helpful. And understanding silhouette. A lot of people who are trying to lose weight, I often ask them, are you really concerned about the number on the scale or your silhouette and how things hang on you and how you look in the mirror.
Because so many people think it's the number, and then you hit the number and you're like, but I still look exactly fat. Why?
Or they're too thin. It goes both ways. And I don't judge a lot of people's journeys. I just try to help get them there. And sometimes I can tease out a few little angle changes that can get them to where they want to be. And I think that's where the art still comes in. But I still love it. I still do it. There's a place here I discovered Dialogue in downtown, and the owner's, his name is Chad, and he's part of our community. He's wonderful. And he has figure drawing classes every other week. And it's an open studio. You just pop in and then you can just draw.
Is that down off of Roosevelt and like Central?
Yeah, because I live like a couple blocks away, and it's exactly Dialogue.
Very cool. Yeah, we had one of the chamber meetings there. That's why how I discovered that place.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. And then I started another drawing group over at Phoenix Art Garage, and they have every Monday a drawing group too. So multiple venues.
We need to get these events on Gay PHX so that people know about them so we can try and get more people out there.
Absolutely. It's a fun time.
So tell us about what it is that you do. What does it actually look like in practice?
Oh my God. It's really fun. I don't do anything in terms of primary care or anything like that. It's a really fun practice. I work in the world of want, not need. And people come to me generally pretty good, pretty healthy. And they just want to work on the last 10% or some personal goals, or they have an event that's coming up. When I was in the Bay Area, a lot of people would gear up for Burning Man because they all wanted that Instagram picture of them shirtless with a flowing, lacy shirt on the playa. They wanted to get that memory and banked. And I would just have people come in, do an intake, and just tell me their goals. And I always say, the more specific your goals are, the faster I can get you there. And a lot of people aren't used to this different paradigm because they're trying to justify or trying to lead me to okaying certain prescriptions or XYZ. And I said, I just stop them. And I just say, you don't need to try to trick me to give you what you want. Just tell me what you want. And more than often times than not, I have other options that are faster and quicker than what they're hoping for. So it's part education.
Because they think they know what they want coming into it. And then they realize there are actually better options.
Yeah. I work in a very niche sector of healthcare, and there are a lot of different things that can be done in terms of body hacking and retooling different, what we call gray market drugs, or things that you can use in a different way. And I'm very open to anything that's safe and effective as long as it works and it's not going to harm me. Then I'm pretty much game. I don't really judge people on their journeys. I think that's very harmful. I was talking to a peer of mine, a colleague of mine, who's struggling in her practice, and the thing is, doctors, sometimes we skew towards a little bit of arrogance, and I try to take away the velvet rope and the white ivory tower aspect of doctoring, and she was very much locked into her way or the highway, and I was trying to say, you're not in a place to make that judgment for your patients. Like, she wanted a doctor a certain way, and I said...
She wanted to dictate doctor.
A little bit. I don't
do well with dictate doctors.
Yeah, we tend to have skew that way, especially we're all first row nerdy kids that wanted to raise our hands all the time.
Right. You know? We know the answer. This is the answer. Follow what I say.
Yeah.
I understand.
And we want you to do this, even though over the years I've been practicing over 20 years, and I've learned that patients need to lead. And I am not here to judge. And I want to facilitate. I want to give options. I want to give data points. I want to educate. And at the very end, the patients ultimately get to make their own decisions. Yeah, she's still struggling with trying to find that kind of balance, I think. There's just find balance in that.
So what's part of your work that nobody sees but is absolutely essential?
I think the Dr. Frankensteining that people don't see. So I affectionately call my practice a vanity practice, and I'm the biggest patient and advocate. So I try most of the things that are on my website to make sure that they actually work the way they're supposed to work. And so I inject a lot of different things, take a lot of things, try different things up on myself. And I'm the guinea pig. And I just want to make sure that these things do what they are purported to do. Because as time goes on, there are a lot of different influencers that pick up old treatments for different vantage points, and they come out of fashion, they come back into fashion, and patients will pick up this marketing and then they'll ask about it and they don't realize that, oh, this has been here for 50 years and it's been coming and going for different reasons. And so it's one thing I do is I do try these things.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that they work.
Is there a moment that you thought about giving up? What keeps you going?
Oh, when I'm looking, I have new patients tomorrow. I'm always really excited for them because I know where they're going to be in a few weeks. Mm. And I know how happy they are. And that always keeps me going. Also, just how immediate some of these things can be. And just, I have a very small practice. I know all my patients very well. Some of my patients have been with me over 20 years. And so it's a very small practice and very hands-on. And I track their progress. If they drop off and I don't hear from them, I will either pick up a phone or send a message and I say, hi, tell me things. What's going on? I haven't heard from you. This is your annoying Dr. Blaine calling. Tell me things. And because it worries me when I don't know where people are in their own journeys. So I like to know people are happy.
Right.
And if they're happy, then I'm fine. And if I don't hear from them for a while, then I like to check in and see how they're doing. But I have to say this in full context. Full context. I was listening to Sam, one of your previous guests, about growing older and how he was talking about this journey he's having. And I almost feel like I'm the Loki to his Thor, because I always tell patients, like, if you are well adjusted and don't want to fight aging and are going to age gracefully, I love that for you. You're a better person than I am, but you're in the wrong practice. Like, you are in the wrong place. Here we fight every little bit to not go into the dark. We fight just to make that little reversal of function and vanities happen in our lives. Because I grew up with a very Buddhist dad, and he meditated 2-3 times a day with a crystal singing bowl. And he just was so well adjusted, ready for each transition of his life. Even at his death, he was very ready. He was very settled. And when I was taking care of him at the end, he would just explain to me and almost read me, throw some shade, but in the most generous way.
In the Buddhist way.
In the most Buddhist way. He read me sometimes just about my desires for the up and downs in life. I really want the really highs. And he would warn me that a plateau is really what you're looking for. And I go, no, I really want the highs. If you want the highs, you know that you're going to have lows. They're guaranteed. And I was like, okay, please don't want the highs.
Right.
And that was when I was younger. Even today, I'm still the same way. I really like the highs. I know the lows are coming when you seek those highs. But now, yes, I do appreciate the plateaus. And I'm in the plateaus these days, which is nice. But I still am trying for those highs. And that relates to also aging and vanity and things like that too. I can't give it up. It's just the way I'm built. I warn people, like, you should understand where you're coming in. This is not for the well-adjusted. I love that you're well-adjusted. I love that you're going and you're easing into the second chapter of your life beautifully and gracefully. This is not here.
You're for the fighters.
Yeah, that's a great way. That's a very generous way of saying it and categorizing who I am. Yeah. I want a little bit of extra. That's what, yeah, a little bit of extra.
So what kind of obstacles do you face getting here and doing something like this then?
Yeah, professionally, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very kind of, some people like to qualify as functional medicine, like making it all sound like more elevated than it actually is in terms of what you're actually trying to do. You're just basically trying to live better. And I think it's a different perspective that I sometimes have to relay to new patients who have the traditional paradigm of what healthcare is. If they come in with some pre-existing conditions, I either redirect them to the primary, or if I can help, I do sometimes, but generally it's a different mindset. And very simply, you're just trying to enhance different systems in your body for different effects. And most of the time, these people are doing well. And so it's not in terms, it's not sick care.
Right.
So that's a different model and it's a different way of approaching.
So do you work with a primary care physician when needed?
Yeah, so absolutely. I always tell patients I'm not your primary care and please have a primary care. And especially if there's needs to be hands-on exams, for example, like derma issues or MSK or physical issues, you do need a physical exam. And since I'm completely virtual, it would not be a good idea for me to try to handle things like that. So then I'm always referring if it's something that is inappropriate for me. So yeah, so I think that's a line that has to be walked there too.
So who benefits from the work that you do?
Everyone. No, but I would say the majority of my clients are gay men. And so I have a weird kind of percentage. I do a lot of women's health. So I do a lot, because I'm good at it. I do a lot of perimenopausal, menopausal, but work with women, women's health. And then the majority of my other clients are gay men. And they're just gay men who, like myself, are not well adjusted into the second part of their life. And they're trying to maintain their function and their sex for as long as possible. I would say those are my two populations. And mostly it's just about keeping fit, keeping active, having good energy, good sleep, good memory, presenting in a certain way so that they're confident and they're ready for their OnlyFans show that they're trying to do.
Which I hear they have a conference coming up in Palm Springs. So just FYI, in case you didn't know.
No, I know. There's one therapy always very common, TRT, testosterone. And one of the side effects is the diminution of your testicular size. And I always tell gay men that this can't happen and most likely will. And I said, some people don't care, but if you do care, if you are a content maker, or if you do go out and you do like to have events and you want to present a certain way, this is something that might make a difference to you. And we'll have to do something extra to mediate that effect. And of course, there are ways to counter that effect, but those are certain types of concerns that people encounter. And it's my job to make sure that I have a solution for that too.
What's a story that stays with you? Someone whose life was changed by what they did with you?
Their patient lose 60 pounds.
Wow,
it was a lot. Yeah, he was a good friend of mine, and he was a pharmacist. So he was in the healthcare business, and he couldn't gain access to certain things to help himself lose weight. And he didn't need to really lose that weight; he just wanted to. And I think we have different, of course, different populations within our own community and different affinities, which is great. And he had a partner already and that liked him just the way he was. But for him, he had a personal goal.
Right.
And I just helped him attain that. And like myself, when I was younger, I was quite large and very much invisible. And I don't make the rules. There's some things that just come with presenting yourself in a certain way. And he finally got there. And for his entire life, he's never been on the other side. And he finally did. And he just took a deep breath and said, I can't imagine how different this is on the side. And I said, yeah, I have no power to change that, but I'm happy to at least help you transition a little bit to get a sense of that. So that was really, you know, very eye-opening. I make no bones about what I do in terms of, you know, gravitas. I think that's a good word for it. My practice is very friendly and light and fun. And I just try to help people attain their goals. I mean, it's good. Makes a huge transition in their life or transformation, and more power to them too.
So how do you measure success? Because it's not about numbers. Because for example, we talk about numbers and people said, oh, you need to be this weight. I'm this weight and I'm still not the way I should look. So that means I need to convert the fat to muscle, but then my weight changes. So then what is supposed to be my number?
I always say, well, success is just joy. So that's really what we have to look for. Like, where is it in your life journey that you can find joy in your life, right? And that changes for each person as time goes. And sometimes the number needs to go up, and sometimes the number needs to go down depending on their own personal journey. And that's specific to just how weight fluctuates for someone, and also media, and also the effect of what's in fashion and what people want to look like. And that's, it can change just through time. It's not a perfect number. I never say it's a perfect number. And I always tell patients, it's okay to have different goal sets when you move through this kind of life journey. Yeah, absolutely. It's not really a number. The success is the person happy. Like, I always check in.
It's really about their feelings.
So, yeah, are you happy? That's what's going on. I want to make sure you're happy. Now, where are we at? Well, let's do a temperature check. Let's see where you are at. And most people, once they hit a sweet spot, they're pretty much on autopilot and they do well. And then if they have a different function or different goal set, then we can make corrections for that too. And different additional things that can be added onto there too.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest misconception that people have about what it is that you do?
They think I don't work. I'm completely virtual, and I do love like my happy place in the gym. So I spend 2-3 hours in the gym a day, but I'm answering messages and putting out fires while I'm doing that. But
as someone who works virtual, I understand what you mean. People are like, oh, all you do is have fun. Yes, that's the part that you see, but there's so much behind the scenes to make that happen so that I can do these other things.
Yes. And, but no, at the same, in the same breath, yes, I'm very blessed and be able to do what I do. And I'm able to travel and have a lot of freedom. And that's how I define personal success for me, is just control over my own time and not being locked into a place or time or person. That's personal success for me. But yeah, people think I don't really work because I'm not in an office. I don't clock in. And I'm not front facing all the time. Most of the time, my time is my own. And they just think, oh, it must be the greatest thing. I go, yeah, there's a lot of back end things that you don't see. So there is that part.
There's, despite being remote, there's still work that has to be done just to make a business function.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not just at home eating Cheetos all day. No, some days I am at home. No, there are a lot of things that come into play when you keep remote. That's the part they don't really see. And or the perception that it's going to be quick. Like the perception that of this type of medicine should follow a very kind of defined linear timeline. Route. Yeah. And they don't understand that I'm in the back reviewing labs, making alterations, suggestions, and I need to nuance certain things in the background for this patient so they can get to their goals in a certain way. So there's a lot of guidance that happens in the background. And then I'll notify them and just checking in.
Also safe to say there's a lot of chemistry. So based on the person and how they're reacting, you may have to adjust certain things.
Absolutely. I do lab tests for all my patients, oftentimes more frequently than they would do with their own primary. So some patients get tested 3-4 times a month, not a month, 3-4 times a year, just to make sure that things look good, especially when they're just starting a brand new treatment. And I want to make sure that it's safe for them. And that they're accepting the treatment well. Yeah, so definitely there's a lot of background stuff going on.
So I assume then there's a lot of trends that happen. Uh-huh. What are trends that worry you and what are ones that excite you? Do trends just come and go? Because it's like you mentioned, some of these things have been around for 50 years, but they just kind of
it's sometimes super controversial during the COVID times. There are different things that are coming and going. And right now we are, of course, in this weight loss renaissance with the GLP-1s. And they're using the GLP-1s for other effects too, off-label, which have been pretty astounding and fantastic. I see that in my own patient base. It acts like an anti-inflammatory. So a lot of patients will notice that their joints don't hurt anymore. And it's not like they just miraculously lost 30 pounds and that's why they haven't lost all that weight. But they do feel like their joints don't hurt anymore. And they're using it for addiction. There's addiction in my family. So there is that component where people who struggle with addictive behaviors are benefiting from GLP-1s too. And to your question, this is new. And do we have really long, long extended term studies about the GLP-1s for addiction purposes? They are in the process of retooling GLP-1 specifically for those different effects so they can create different therapies directed at these new avenues of effect.
So help the uneducated. What is GLP-1?
Oh, it's like what you hear in the news. There's so much marketing from Ozempic and Mounjaro. So there's these new weight loss drugs.
Trendy shots that all these housewives are getting that South Park made a movie about. That's the only reference I have.
Yeah. And they work well. And we were doing weight loss before without them. And it was difficult for multiple reasons. And this has been, for many people, a godsend. And yes, there are dangers to it. And you have to be informed as a patient. And oftentimes you make your best adjustment based on the information available. And oftentimes you do have to say there is literature out there that says that this can cause issues with growths within your gallbladder and other systems. But in the same breath, most people die of cardiovascular disease and from obesity. Let me finish that part of the statement. So you have to weigh all the risks and then you make your final determination. However, in my house where we aren't really in that realm because most people are coming to me not fantastically obese. They're looking to lose pounds and you tell them the risk and then they're honest for a little bit and then hopefully they can transition to better behavior to maintain that weight. There's different uses and different presentations as a patient that is different. Yeah, one I could say pull out in the blue, methylene blue came back. It's a very kind of the dye used in clothing. It was popular in the 70s for certain effects and influencers brought them back a little bit.
Ethylene blue?
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue. As someone with blue hair, I'm curious, but
Yeah, so he has the different purposes, and people will ask, and they'll come in different waves. See these waves of questions, depending on what's hot on TikTok. All the
I blame TikTok for a lot of things. Yes. And people are like, you on TikTok? I'm like, no, everything bad I just hear about through other means, and then I know it's on TikTok.
So then I'm like, okay, no, I'm not on TikTok, but I can get a sense of what's being broadcasted across the different media sources. So that's there, and then there's an older drug called Semirelin that I used to prescribe. I don't do it much anymore because it's quite old, but it's all in the blogosphere and the media. And you see a lot of advertising for it too. Yeah. So different things come and go. And it's my job to give data, maybe give a better option.
Because you know what they're trying to achieve, but just because this is how they learned about product A doesn't mean that product A is necessarily what is best for them.
Perfect. Exactly. So like Semirelin is older. I don't use it anymore because we've moved on. So there's other things, something called, I'm on it right now. It's called Semirelin. It's like the third generation. So even though they're broadcasting about this one thing, we've already moved on to something else. So that's my job.
Right.
My
job is, to be ahead of the curve. So that So, I get it. We do the same with technology. They ask about questions. I'm like, it's not ready for this, or it's not. I'm speaking specifically for AI. People are like, oh, I've heard they're doing this. Yes, they're doing, but it's not ready for you. It's not ready for prime time. It's not ready for the general public at this stage, depending on what it is that I'm being asked. So I understand as far as I try and stay on that, what I call bleeding edge, so that other people don't get cut.
Right. And in healthcare, you have to kind of give the caveat, like a lot of this is just completely experimental.
Right.
Completely.
And you can't have long-term effect studies because it hasn't been around long enough to have long-term effect studies.
And they haven't been used in a certain way. Yeah, so there's a lot of guidance that comes with that. And again, I'm doing a lot of it onto myself. I'm just like, so am I growing a third eye? What's going on?
Have you ever had a really bad reaction?
I have a very old drug that's used for different reasons. It's a natural hormone that's secreted when your mom's pregnant, and that's what they detect for pregnancy. It's called HCG. And at the time, for reasons about that, anyways, it was for other reasons that was about health, I injected it. And I would say immediately within 3-4 hours, I was shedding hair.
Whoa.
Like my hair started just coming out. And this is an individualistic kind of experience. I prescribe it all the time. It's fine for most people, but for me.
Right. For your body chemistry.
Oh, for a huge hair queen, like I am seeing clumps fall out. I'm like, what's going on? But yeah, so that was very interesting. I was doing, and then to continue the whole Frankenstein kind of craziness that I do, because my hair was falling out, I started taking a lot of saw palmetto because it's got moderate beta alpha reductase blocker, which basically there's an enzyme on your skin that chokes off the blood flow to your hair follicles. If you can block it, then your hair has a better chance of growing and proliferating, which is good. But I didn't know on the same hand is that it can systemically, if you take too much, take away your masculinity, your libido, your energy. So then I basically neutered myself.
Oh.
And it was another adventure down the other rabbit hole. My hair was looking good, but like I had no libido.
But I didn't care.
It was a mess. But most of the things I do, it's reversible, which is nice. And you're not doing permanent damage. But that's part of my experience and why I'm there is to say, oh, this cost rate benefit ratio is probably not good. And I wouldn't do that. Or I've done it. And this is what happened to me. The guidance part's really important.
So how can listeners follow?
What are those scary stories?
but it also proves that, again, you got through it. You survived it. So it's not an issue. You know that ultimately it's going to be okay. You got your hair back.
Yeah. Like they say, everyone reacts differently to every drug, and you just have to kind of try it out and see what happens gracefully and delicately and monitoring yourself and make sure that you go slow. So, yeah.
So how can listeners follow your work and learn more about what you do?
The best was my website. Super easy. My last name, Wang. And then letter M as in Nancy and D as in Dr. Or like my friend likes to say, N as in new and D as in day for transformation for yourself. So it's wangnd.com. So WANGND.com. And that's my website. And it's very transparent. I love transparency. Everything's listed out for people before they decide.
Excellent. Awesome. Dr. James Wang, thank you for doing this with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Billy. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. And again, thank you also for being one of our founding 50, which for listeners, this is someone who believes in what we're doing and what we're building. Oh, and we can't thank you enough for joining that program with us. So You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pride lives here.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about STIs. STI testing is not a moral failing. It is a powerful form of self-care and emphasizes the importance of knowing your body, caring for your health, and showing respect for yourself and others. Testing supports confidence, clarity, and healthier connections. Routine testing helps create open, honest conversations and reduces fear through knowledge. When someone shares that you might have been exposed to an STI, that's an act of care and trust. Responding with kindness and appreciation strengthens everyone's well-being. A friendly, supportive approach makes these conversations easier and more human. When we normalize testing, we build healthy relationships and stronger communities together.
Another reason we love this community.
Huge thank you to Dr. James Wang for that conversation, for honesty, the perspective, and the reminder that transformation isn't just about numbers, it's about how you feel in your own life. In Phoenix, this weekend was something special, not just because of the events, Rainbow Fest, the No Kings rally happened, Make 'em Laugh, Grit, Sunday service, but because of what happened between all of that, the conversations, the connections, the moment where people found each other. And those 1,000+ tokens we handed out, that's not just marketing. That's community. That's someone saying, hey, this exists. Come check it out. So if you're new here, welcome. Gay PHX is a community-powered platform built right here in Phoenix, sharing events, stories, music, and voices from across the valley and beyond. And remember, we're not just a podcast. We stream 24/7 so you can listen anytime and tune in, Radio Garden and Radio.net, wherever you are, whenever you want. So stick around, keep listening, keep sharing, and keep building this with us because we don't have a transmitter in the desert, but we do have you, and that means everything. We'll see you next week. If you see us out and about, come grab a selfie with us. We love you, Phoenix.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.